Recording progress.
Very good. It's delightful to be with you all this morning. And we're happy that our Sunday school is reconvening. We're rebuilding slowly, but we are rebuilding. And praise the Lord for the blessings that are flowing. Pray for our children. Big movements on Friday night. And lots of the kids were there, and they had a good time. And we believe that in this rebuilding process, the Lord is going to build us greater and stronger and deeper than we would have been had we not had the significant COVID disruptions, restrictions, confusion. I'm not sure how you describe COVID, but the Lord has been working. Have you noticed because of COVID, we started using Zoom? Because of Zoom, we reach farther and farther. And by God's grace, we're going to continue to reach farther, farther afield and deeper at home. That is our prayer. This morning, I want to consider some thoughts with you under the general heading of the blessings of regathering. That's what we're doing. We're regathering. What do we know about regathering for Jesus' sake? So this morning, the blessings of regathering. Let's pray. Lord, we want to thank you for what you're doing. And I guess just excited to see the children coming for Sunday school again. And Lord, it's just so reassuring. We pray that you'll bless them. Give those children a good summer. May for them it be the summer that they trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. May it be the summer that they begin to realize the blessings of Christian friendships and the blessings of walking with the Savior. So, Lord, we pray that you'll bless them. But bless us, Lord, those who are older, those who are on Zoom. We pray that you'll speak to our hearts this morning. We thank you for the fact that you have gave this request so long ago. Gather my children together unto me, those who have made a sacrifice, a covenant with me by sacrifice. Bless them all, we pray. Bless us all, we pray. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. All right, several passages of scripture this morning. Take your Bibles and be prepared to go to many places. First of all, to the book of Psalms, Psalm number 50. Psalm number 50 in a verse that we just quoted, misquoted actually in prayer. Psalm 50 and verse 5. This is what it says. Gather my saints together unto me, those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. That's a wonderful command. The Lord says, I want my people to get together. Gather them together unto me, he says. The context here is gather them together for judgment day. Have you noticed that on judgment day, we're all going to be there? None of us will fail to be there on judgment day. That's good. And sometimes a little bit scary, but it's very good. And the Lord says to us, even before judgment day, come on together now. This is what I want for you. Gather my saints together unto me. And also Psalm 122 and verse 1. Quickly over to Psalm 122, verse 1. And it says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I guess I was here last week. We were here all day last week, last Sunday. I went home with a great big smile on my face. You might have even heard my heels clicking as I was walking along. Today, we haven't been here all day, but I'm already clicking. It's so wonderful to see you all. When you put your mask on, I don't know who you are, but I'm delighted that you're here. God is doing a great work, and it's thrilling to behold. I was glad, the psalmist said. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. What do we know about gathering together to the Lord? The Lord said in the book of Exodus 19, you read about it, Exodus 19, Exodus 20, Exodus 21, and so on. The Lord said, now I've got an important message for the people. Moses, I want you to gather them all together. 3 days warning, 3 days invitation, 3 days advance announcement he gave to them. I want them all to gather at the base of the mountain. I'm going to speak to them. He spoke to them judgment. He gave them the Ten Commandments. He gave it most emphatically. There were loud trumpets. There were thunders and lightnings. There was great darkness. People trembled. Why did the Lord say get together? Because of the impact that it would have on the people just to be there when the Lord spoke. And there were little children who came up to the granddad many years later and said, granddaddy, could you please tell me what was it like that day that God spoke to his people? And granddaddy will say, well, your grandmother and I were there. Absolutely marvelous day. Sometimes you'll find that you'll be in a discussion and somebody will say, you remember, son? Oh, you say, that's right, you weren't there, were you? Too bad. Okay. God says, no, there are important things for you to remember, and we want you to be there. I'm just going to give you some of my random thoughts this morning on this whole subject of getting together. But do you notice that it wasn't shortly after he called them together at Sinai, he said to them, now I want you to build me a tabernacle, one tabernacle. He didn't say I want to build 50. He didn't say I don't really care about the people. They can just follow me into him. No, he says, you're going to have one gathering place. I want you all to be there for gathering together. You'll remember over in Deuteronomy chapter 16. Quickly turn there. You're going to need all the sword drill experience you can get this morning, because we're going to be turning to a lot of verses quickly. Deuteronomy 16 and verse 16 goes like this. It says, three times in a year shall all thy males appear before me, before the Lord thy God, in the place which he shall choose, in the feast of unleavened bread, in the feast of weeks, and in the feast of tabernacles. They shall not appear before me empty. Every man shall give as he is able according to the blessing of the Lord thy God, which he hath given thee. That was the command of the congregation in Israel. Where did they live? Well, they lived from Dan in the north to Beersheba in the south. A long way. The Lord Jesus, mother and father, Joseph and Mary, they lived up in Nazareth. And they went to Jerusalem, you'll remember. How long did it take them to get there? Well, we're not really sure, but on the way back, sure took them a long time, because they'd been away a day or two before they realized Jesus wasn't there, and they had to turn around and go back and hunt for him. A big deal. Not always easy to get to gather together, but they were required to gather together 3 times a year. I kind of liked that when I was a boy, especially. I like that because it basically said I get 3 holidays every year. I get to travel with my family. We go all the way from home to Jerusalem, meet all the nice people there, hear the good sermons there. We go to the temple and sacrifice. Going to be a great time. All the way back, we end up saying yippee. And God says, I want you to get together in a different way. You come along to the chapel, and you meet with the saints. What a wonderful thing. In the book of Deuteronomy, you read a very interesting verse over in chapter 31. I just want to read it together with you and see what you think. Deuteronomy chapter 31, and we're going to start reading at verse 10. And Moses commanded the people, saying, At the end of every 7 years, in the solemnity of the year of release, in the Feast of Tabernacles, when all Israel is come to appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men and women, children and stranger, that is within thy gates, that they may hear, and that they may learn, and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law, and that their children, which have not known anything, may hear, and learn to fear the Lord your God, as long as ye live in the land, whither you go over Jordan to possess it. So they got together three times a year, but in the Feast of Tabernacles, once every 7 years, they had a particular congregational reading of the law. Now, frankly, we don't do that. And frankly, I've never been able to understand why. Frankly, I think it'd be a marvelous thing if every few years we got together here at 16th Avenue, everybody in the assembly, and all we did was just read, maybe just read through the book of Deuteronomy. And the Lord says, you know, when you do that, when you learn it together in the context of the whole family, in the context of the whole community, in the context of the whole nation, there will be a solemnity, there will be a conviction, there will be a fear that will go through the congregation. And they did that. I'm not sure how long it would take. I've often thought we could do it at 16th Avenue Gospel Chapel. We'd probably have to have several readers. I think that our voices would give out before the reading was over. I think we'd get a little tired. I don't know whether we'd have all the people stand or not, but probably they'd have to sit, because if we didn't, they might collapse. What if it took 4 or 5 hours to read? Think it would be worthwhile? When was the last time you read through the book of Deuteronomy? Was it worthwhile? Yeah, on your own, it'd be worthwhile. But together. Well, gathering together was important in those days. you'll remember that, and we were studying a little bit, and we'll be in Joshua, regarding the three tribes of Israel that were on the far side of Jordan: Gad, Reuben, and the half tribe of Manasseh. And after the wars were over, Joshua dismissed them. They went back over Jordan. When they got over Jordan, they built a great big altar to the Lord. The other tribe said, "What? This is terrible. These people have built an altar. They will probably use that altar over there to serve the Lord. And we know that the Lord wants us all to come together." And the 10 tribes sent their princes and the priests over to them, basically with a declaration of war, and said to them, "You are either going to have to get rid of that altar, or we're going to come and destroy it. You cannot serve the Lord independently." And the 2.5 tribes said, "You got us all wrong. We built this altar for exactly the opposite reason. We built the altar so that we would remember that our God is over Jordan. He's in Shiloh, in that temple. And we want everybody to know, both the 10 tribes over there and our 2.5 tribes here, we want them all to know that we are part of them, and we don't want ever to be separated from them." Oh, the princes said, "This is wonderful news. We're not going to fight you for that. We acknowledge how important it is for the saints to get together for the glory of God." Well, there was another fellow who took a look at this whole story. You might read about it in the book of 1 Kings, chapter 12. You'll remember the story as I refer you to it, but it's important that we read the detail. 1 Kings, chapter 12. The story is the rebellion of Jeroboam from Rehoboam. First Kings chapter 12. Verse 25. Then Jeroboam built Shechem in Mount Ephraim, and he lived there, set up his palace there, set up his kingdom there. And he went out from thence to build Penuel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, Now shall the kingdom return to the house of David if this people go up to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord of Jerusalem. Then shall the heart of this people turn again to the Lord, even unto Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they shall kill me and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah. Whereupon the king Jeroboam took counsel. And he made two calves of gold and said unto them, It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And he set one in Bethel, and the other put he in Dan. And the thing became a sin for the people, went unto worship before one, even unto Dan. What did Jeroboam say? He said, you know, there's something about all the people getting together to the Lord. And if they all get together to the Lord, they'll forget the alternative way, which was Jeroboam's kingdom. And so Jeroboam said, somehow we got to keep the people from getting together. And frankly, I think that the devil came up with a big winner when he came up with COVID-19. And all kinds of people are saying, well, I don't have to go. I don't have to meet with the people of God anymore. I can just turn on the TV set. And big problems could result. I think that there are many churches today which are contemplating not reopening because their flock has been scattered. Big problems. And what does Jeroboam say? Jeroboam says, that's really what I would like. I would like them all to go away from Rehoboam. So what we will do, we'll set up an alternative. And the logic was that they said it's too far to go. Now, we got a problem because some of our people live so far away, it's too far to go. Some of us have been thrilled to see people coming in from the other side of the Pacific Ocean. It's too far for them to come every Sunday. Other people in the ESL classes, there's a lady in Barbara's class, I believe, who dials in all the time from Spain for ESL. She can't really get here every week. Too far. Have you ever noticed an argument like that? I noticed especially on Tuesday night when we're on Zoom. When we were on Zoom, I had to sign up for Tuesday night meeting at 20 after 7, and I was finished at 9 o'clock. Now I leave the house at 6 o'clock, and I get home at 10 o'clock. There's a difference. It takes longer. It's a long way away. Jeroboam says, that's a good argument. I'll use that argument. The Lord says, no, that's not a very good argument. It's sometimes inconvenient to get together, to get the family together, to do, but it's a big deal for the Lord. Gather my people together unto me, the Lord says, and I want them to come. Jeroboam says, too far to go, takes too long. And people of God say, no, we're going to go anyway. Well, we keep on reading. And a terrible example is in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah. You'll remember the children of Israel went into captivity in Babylon. They'd been carried up into Assyria prior to that. And they were scattered throughout the then known world. And Cyrus came along and proclaimed that they could return. And so they decided that they would return. The invitation was given. I'm not sure how many people lived in Israel in the days of the kings, but reading through recently the story of Jehoshaphat, I was amazed to see that probably Jehoshaphat had about, I'm not sure the precise number, he had about 900,000 men in his army from Judah. I'm not sure if they were all from Judah. Some of them might have been from Simeon. One tribe, 900,000 soldiers. Canada doesn't have 900,000 soldiers. He had 900,000 soldiers. So I started doing some imaginary mathematics. And I said, in a society like that, you probably have only half of the males would be army qualified. It'd probably be, that's a low number, but let's say half of the males were army qualified. And let's say there were as many males as there were females and females as males. So you take the 900,000, you multiply by four, you get 3,000,006. And so let's say that, well, 3,000,006 in Judah, maybe some of the Benjamites and not Benjamites, but the Simeonites might have been there. Let's say there were 3 million in Judah. There were 12 tribes. 3 million in Judah. How many would there have been in the other 11 tribes? I don't know. But if there were 2 million in each of the 12 tribes, that would be 24 million. That's a lot of people in the little village, no, the little community of Israel. How many people in Israel today? I don't know, 7-8 million, something like that. Probably three times as many people in Israel in the days of Jehoshaphat as there were in, or there are today. That's a big number. And we read the story of the Lord speaking to all the people. How many was he speaking to at Sinai in Exodus 20? Well, probably 2 or 3 million. You think he had a loud voice? Yeah. They were all there. They heard him. It sounded like thunder. They were scared silly. But they were there. So let's say you got 20 million people. You could even reduce it to 10 million people who were scattered abroad in the days of the emancipation when they were told they could go back to the land of Israel. Read the book of Ezra. How many went back? 50,000. What? Many, many, many millions. 50,000 go back. What about the rest of them? Well, they said, like Jeroboam, is too far. We can't all go back. We don't need to go back. We got a synagogue here, you know. We'll be all right. But the Lord's plan was that they all go back. Some of them didn't go back. I remember Eli Nesem. Some of you will remember Eli Nesem. Keep praying for him. He and his wife are still in senior citizens' rest homes in Abbotsford. But Eli Nesem says, you know, my family came from Babylon. I said, well, that's not surprising. In the days of Daniel, that's where they all were. And he said, my family came from Babylon. I said, Eli, when did your family come from Babylon? He said, well, from the days of Daniel until they left Babylon, it was about 2,300 years. That's a long time to be away from Jerusalem, isn't it? Now, by the grace of God, they came back, and the Lord's done a wonderful work through their family. Most of Ali's family, some of his own children, grandchildren, and brothers' families and so on, they're in Israel today. It took them a long time to get there. Don't take a long time. We got to get back. So anyway, that was that story. You keep on reading. You get to the New Testament. What do you read in the New Testament? Well, you read that much that was wonderful happened when the saints all got together. You can remember the stories. The story of the Lord Jesus when he was 12 years old. When did it happen? Well, they'd all come for the feast. How many other feasts did they come for? Lots of them. And you read through the book of John and it's feast after feast after feast, these marvelous things that happen. Would you like to have been there when the Lord stood up and he cried with a loud voice and he said, I can't remember how he said it. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Would you like to have been there? Sure you would. And how could you have been there? Well, he did it on the last day of the feast, the great day of the feast, probably the Feast of Tabernacles. And they were all there. How many heard him that day with his loud voice? Probably hundreds of thousands. Exciting days. I listened to the piece. I've reminded you of it several times over the last 2 or 3 weeks, but I was listening to a quartet sing on the internet the other 2 or 3 weeks ago. They sang a lovely little hymn. I want to be there when they crowned King of Kings. I want to be there when the court of heaven rings. You want to be there? Say, I don't want to miss out on that gathering. And I change the words in my mind when I sing it, and I say, I'm going to be there. When they crown him King of Kings, I want to be there. For all the other exciting things that carry on in the meantime. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. We heard these verses this morning. And Eric read them, Hebrews chapter 10, in a more precise context than I'm going to give them to you. But both contexts, both applications are wise. Now, verse 24 says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. This is Hebrews 10, 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more, as you see the day approaching. Well, we sit back and we say, Lord, that's right. Okay, how are we going to get together? We're going to get together when we can, however we can, more frequently. We're going to get together and get together and get together. I probably have told you repeatedly that during my life, it's been a privilege to be together with the saints, one group of them or another, probably on average, more than 7 days every week. Just opportunity to be together. Christians are supposed to be together. Why are we supposed to be together? We're together so that we can exhort one another. How you doing? Good to see you. Praise the Lord. What's happening? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, that's rather encouraging. And we do things. This has not much to do with anything, but yesterday I was out with some of you, and it's going to be a hot day. I got to wear a hat. I put my Beijing hat on. I got a Beijing Olympics hat from the year 2008. My friend gave it to me in 2008. I thought, what on earth am I ever going to do with this? And it's been sitting on my shelf for the last 13 years. And I pulled it off and I wore it yesterday. I was proud. And proud that I could be part of a lot of you who know Beijing a whole lot better than I do. That's a terribly insignificant thing. It's an encouraging thing. We are to provoke one another. We're to exhort one another. That's what we're to do. Exhort one another. How do you exhort one another? You say, hey, it's good to see you. How you doing? I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. That's exhorting one another. Verse 24. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. The encouragement of being together is not just an encouragement, but it's a little bit of provocation. And sometimes even we say, I think I better be there, because if I'm not there, people will say, what's the matter? You're sick. And you say, no, I'm okay.
And so we provoke one another to what? To love and to good works. You know, it's possible not to love terribly much. It's also possible not to worry about good works very much. There's lots of other things to do, you know. You probably found when you get home, you get involved in this and that and something else, and you rise up early and you go to bed late, you don't get it all done. And you say, what's wrong? And we just need to be encouraged and to provoke unto love and good works. God's plan is that we get together. We don't all get together in the same way. We don't all have to go to Jerusalem once a year. But the Lord in his wisdom planted us together in families. He calls them assemblies. How did you get into this family? Very simple, God sent you. How did I get into this family? I certainly had nothing to do with it. I was in this building long before I understood it all. And when I realized what had happened, I said, Lord, you sent me here. We're all part of the family of God. God places us together in families. That is his present plan for us. What are we going to do? We're going to say, Lord, by God's grace, we're going to keep on getting together. I'm hoping that very soon will there be so many here. This is the largest congregation we've had for, I don't know, was it March, a year and a half ago? It's a long time, but we got more here this morning. Hallelujah. I'm hoping very soon we won't have enough room for them all. Because I think that there were all who used to be here are going to be coming back. And I think we're going to be bringing others with us. And they'll be back. And hopefully the basement will be full. And the balcony will be full. And the main auditorium full. And one of the other blessings is going to be the singing. I'm looking forward every week. The singing gets better and better and better. And we're going to open the windows wide. And the neighbors are going to say, can you hear that? That's praises for Jesus. Leaking out the windows for the glory of God. Amen. What's our Lord want us to do? He wants us to get together. Last reason in the verse is, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Raise your hand if, listen carefully to the question. Raise your hand if, in the light of Scripture and in the light of the news that you've been reading about the world in the last couple of years, raise your hand if you think the Lord is coming more quickly now than you did 2 years ago. Okay, and the hands are going up. Why is all this? It's because we see the day approaching. Now, if the day's approaching, we need one another more, more, more. When I was a little boy, I asked my mother, and I said, Mother, why is there that church over there and that church over there and this one over here and that one over there? She said, Harold, you keep reading the Bible. You keep trusting the Lord. When you get to be an old man, the departure from the Lord will be so great that you'll rejoice to see anybody who loves the Lord Jesus. And you'll throw your arms around them. If we needed one another yesterday, we need one another more today, brethren. I'm so glad that I'm a part of the family of God. Lord, we want to thank you for your plans for your people. And we really don't know what the day ahead is going to bring, Lord. We shudder periodically as we see, we read, we hear. But Lord, we believe that you're still the Lord. And we believe that in a special way, you have planned for our protection, encouragement, and even provocation by bringing us together. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of being together. We couldn't do it 6 weeks ago. We can today. We say hallelujah. And Lord, we pray that you will take 16th Avenue Gospel Chapel and make them a bright and shining beacon, each one brilliant for the Savior. May we shine together for your glory. Would it please you, Lord, to save many, to bring us all close to you? We don't want to walk afar off, Lord. We want to walk close to you. Work in our hearts. Work through us. Work in the lives of each one. Lord, bless us. Thanks for bringing us together. We give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.